So we're going to look at the second gift today in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 8. And I'm just going to read down to verse 11. But we're going to look at verses 8 through 20 just to summarize it. So verse 8, starting there in Luke chapter 2. We got it for you on the screen as well. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord." Go back to verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I proclaim to you good news of great," everybody say it together, "joy that will be for all the people." So today I'm going to talk about the second incredible gift that God wants to give us. Last week we talked about the gift of peace. Today we want to talk about the gift of joy. Somebody say joy. Tell the person beside you, it's good to see you this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for who you are. I pray, God, that you speak to us through your word. I pray, Father, that our eyes will be attentive, that our hearts will be open to receive life-transforming word from heaven. In Jesus' name, every person said amen. 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 You can go to your seat. And as you're going to your seat, I want to give just a quick shout out to a really good friend of mine, brother in Christ, fellow pastor here in the local area, Pastor Rob Shepherd from Next Level Church in Yorktown. Come on, I need y'all to do better than that. My man, good to see you, brother. Glad you can get away. And I'm going to tell you what's so cool about Rob. Pastor Rob, he texted me a few weeks ago. He was like, "Hey, man, if you need a break from preaching, you know, leading up to Christmas, let me know, because I just want to kind of offer that to you, and I offer it to different friends because I know the season can kind of be, you know, exhausting in different ways." And so I was like, I actually just took a break 2 weeks ago because Pastor Eric came and preached the whole house down. So I'm good. But I got you. You are on the way. So y'all better believe. And Pastor Rob has preached at our church multiple times. And so you'll be hearing from him soon. But brother, love you, man. Thank you so much for your encouragement and for your presence. And grateful for our camaraderie and the wisdom and just the encouragement that you give. So can y'all make some noise one more time for Pastor Rob being here today? Amen. And a big shout out to all of our online family. We're so honored that you're here. And wherever you're watching from, please let us know where you are watching from. And I want to invite us to Christmas at the Bridge, Christmas Eve night at 6 o'clock p.m. It's going to be incredible. So we look forward to seeing you here in person or online. Somebody say joy. Joy. You know, one of the things that I love about the Christmas season is all the different Christmas songs that are sung. And one of the songs that I love more than any other song is "Joy to the World." How many of y'all have heard that song? You know that song, right? How many of y'all like me, you know the first line to that song, and then it's like, how many of y'all like that? Y'all like me. It's like, you know, it's like the old cop song, the bad boy song. Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come from you? Nobody knows. How many of y'all know the words to the whole cop song? Rob, you probably know. You don't know it? But I love "Joy to the World" because I think it communicates something that God really wants us to experience in this season, which is joy. And joy is a little bit different than what this world promises. Because what this world emphasizes is happiness. And I find it to be very interesting because recently I found a poll that was done by the University of Chicago where they say that only 14% of people, of Americans rather, say that they are happy. Only 14% say that they're happy. And in case you don't know and see how big of a deal that is, in 2018, 31% of people said that they were happy. But 2 years later, in 2020, only 14% of people said that they're happy. And I wonder if they took that poll again as of today, if that number would be even more, much smaller than what it is last year. And I find it to be interesting because as this world promises happiness, what this poll reveals is that many people, including some of us in here today, are living lives and are not quote-unquote happy. If you break that statistic down, 14%, that's about one in every six people. And I can't see how many people are here in this room and online, but if we just look around, one in every six people, according to this statistic, are not happy. Some of you came here today upset. Some of you came here today frustrated. Mad, not happy about the conditions of your life. not happy about the circumstances, not happy about what's going on in your family, not happy about your income level. And what's interesting is, in spite of us finding ourselves in a not so happy state, here's the reality. The reality is all of us will go through life many times not happy. And I know that sounds countercultural to say, but the reason why this is true is because happiness is based upon external things. It's based upon what's happening. In other words, I'll be happy when I get a better job. I'll be happy when I get to a new city to live in. I'll be happy when this school year is over. I'll be happy when I'm not taking calculus anymore. I'll be happy when this isn't happening anymore. I'll be happy when I get some new hair. I'll be happy when I get a new bae, because the bae I got right now is terrible. I'm gonna dump them, right? Like, and so we attribute happiness is connected to all these external things. Let me say it like this. Happiness is based upon what's happening. And if it's based upon what's happening, that means your happy meter will go up and down. So one day you could be here. The next day you can be here. Happiness is contingent on the conditions of circumstances. And when I think about that, it brings us here to Luke chapter 2, because here in this passage, following the birth of Jesus, we're kind of jumping ahead after Jesus was born, but we'll come back to that birth moment in the next week or so. But following the birth of Jesus, the scene now moves to how his arrival impacts the lives of others, specifically the lives of some shepherds. Somebody say shepherd. Now, I think what's really cool is Pastor Rob, his last name is Shepherd, and on a day where I'm preaching about shepherds, the shepherd known as Rob is here today. It's pretty cool. He ain't playing that. But in the midst of Jesus showing up, this news impacts these shepherds. Now, in case you don't know anything about shepherds, shepherds were considered to be the outcasts of Israel. Not the outcasts, the hip-hop group, but outcasts, meaning nobody wanted to be around them. People despised them. They were dirty. They were smelly. They stunk. They were not visually appealing at all because they took care of sheep. Nobody wanted to be around them. And their occupation was they were tending the flock. They would lead sheep. They would feed sheep. They would guide sheep. And nobody was just voluntarily signing up to be a shepherd. Nobody went to shepherd.com and said, I can't wait to be a shepherd. Being a shepherd was considered to be one of the most despised roles and occupations that you could have in that first century context. It was mundane. It was the same thing, doing the same thing each and every day. Same rhythm, each and every day. Shepherding was an occupation and a line of work that was messy. It was ugly, it was stinky, it was mundane. And in addition to the shepherds being obviously shepherds, the Bible says here in verse 8 that they were staying outside in the fields and keeping watch at night. Somebody say night. They were keeping fields at night, watching over the flock. Now, this is interesting because remember last week we talked about this theme of darkness. And here again now, Luke chapter 2, we see this theme recurring again of darkness. It's this dark time. In other words, it means that it may not be anything necessarily to be happy about. It's messy. It's ugly. It's uncomfortable. You may not be able to necessarily see your way through. And some of us are here today and you've experienced dark times. We talked last week about how Jesus is the Prince of Peace and how he wants us to experience our peace. But I want you to understand today, he doesn't just want to give you peace. He wants to give you something in addition to peace, but it's not happiness. Because happiness is connected to external circumstances. It doesn't mean that good things can't happen to you. It doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't want to do good things for you. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is he wants you to go deeper beneath the surface than happiness. Because happiness is contingent on circumstances. And these shepherds find themselves in a dark situation. And many of you are experiencing the same thing right now. Dark situation. Obviously, we've seen, many of us have watched the news and you've heard the recent events that happened in Missouri and Kentucky and how hundreds of lives have been lost because of these devastating tornadoes and that are sweeping across these different states. Many of these families' lives will be forever changed. Tornadoes, massive in size, ripping across church buildings, ripping across neighborhoods, dislodging family members, taking family members out of this life. And many of you aren't walking through a tornado per se, but it feels like it. where your life has fallen apart, where things are not working. And many of us came today here in person or online, and you're saying, Pastor, how can I be happy when everything in life is falling apart? When I recently lost a loved one, I'm walking through a divorce, parents are fighting, kids are bullying me at school, people treat me a certain way because of my age, my color. How can I be happy in the midst of all of that? But as I said earlier, God doesn't want to give you happiness for that. He wants to give you something much better than happiness, because happiness is conditional. What he wants to give you and the gift that he wants to give you in spite of all the darkness and crazy things that you're experiencing is this three-letter word called joy. Somebody say joy. Somebody say joy. I'm talking about joy as different than happiness, because happiness is based upon the outside. Joy has to do with what's happening on the inside, which means even in the midst of the craziness on the outside, I can still be in a state of gladness and peace on the inside because I got something greater on the inside. He wants you to have joy, meaning this: joy is an inside job. It means to be glad. Pastor, how can I be glad in the midst of so much to be mad about? How can I be glad in the midst of the affliction I'm facing? How can I be glad in the midst of the anxiousness that I'm feeling? And when we look at this passage of scripture, in spite of the shepherds being considered outcast by society, outside in the dark, I want you to notice what verse 9 says. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory, somebody say glory, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. I want you to see the powerful nature here. In the midst of the darkness that the shepherds found themselves in, God showed up. In the midst of it being nighttime, the light of heaven shows up. Why is this good news for all of us in here? Because some of you are walking through a dark moment right now. It is an endless darkness, it feels like. And you're wondering, is there any light at the end of the tunnel? I'm here to tell you, there's something better than light at the end of the tunnel. There's light for you in the tunnel, and his name is Jesus Christ. I want you to know that in the middle of the darkness that you're experiencing right now, God has a strange way of showing up in the middle of the darkness. Some of you guys are here today, and you can testify to the fact that you've walked through some really dark and ugly and bad, messy, mundane seasons, but out of nowhere, God showed up. He brought light to a dark place. He brought light to a dark path. He showed up. Come on, is there anybody here today who can say, I know what it's like to walk through a dark moment, but God showed up. And the angel says in verse 10, do not be afraid, because I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people, which means that no matter what you and I may be walking through, God always brings good news that leads to great joy. And the Christmas story, not the Christmas story that's going to be running on TNT and TBS 24 hours a day for the next week and a half with a little boy putting his tongue on a pole and it's sticking to it. How many of y'all like that movie? Yeah, that's, it's like, it's not Christmas until the Christmas story. Not that one. We're talking about when Jesus comes. The original Christmas story is one of joy. I want you to write this down, family, that joy is found when Jesus is at the center. Joy is found when Jesus is at the center. Show me a life without joy, and I will show you a life that does not have Jesus at the center. But when Jesus steps in, and when Jesus shows up, there's joy, which shows us this, that God is the giver of joy. We don't find joy outside of him. God gives joy. He is the source of joy, just like he was the source of peace. And he loves to give joy in times of darkness. And so I want you to know in here today, if you're here in a place of discouragement, I want you to understand God sees you, God hears you, God is with you, God feels the pain that you're going through and that you're experiencing right now. You are not alone, not whatsoever. God sees everything that you are going through right now, which is why the Bible can give us this promise in Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may stay overnight, but there is joy in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night. In other words, it might last a while, but here's the promise. Joy is coming. Joy is coming. Joy is coming. Matter of fact, we can prophetically declare that not only is joy coming because Jesus is here, joy is here. Joy has come. Joy came down from heaven on the stairwell through the flesh, and his name is Jesus Christ. Joy is here. Let me say it like this, family. Joy is heaven's soundtrack for earth's sorrow. I don't think y'all got that. Joy is heaven's soundtrack for earth's sorrow. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is the sorrow that you're going through, heaven gives a remedy for that, joy. The difficulty that you're walking through right now, heaven has a soundtrack to get you through this season, joy. How many of you guys have ever needed to put on some music to get you through something difficult? It began to alter your mood, it began to change your mood, but that's what joy does. Joy is a soundtrack. How's it a soundtrack? Because one of the things that you see all throughout this passage of scripture is you see a lot of singing, you see a lot of rejoicing, you see a lot of celebrating. Joy is heaven's soundtrack for earth's sorrow. And it teaches us about having joy and why we can rejoice no matter what. We can rejoice not because of more money, not because of a new relationship. We can rejoice not because we live in a bigger house or have a new car, not because of more Instagram followers, more views on TikTok. That's not why we rejoice. Rejoicing is something much greater than that. And the text shows us these principles and these truths that I want to give us as to why we have reason to rejoice. Here's principle number one. The reason why we can rejoice in this season, no matter how dark it may be, is because of God's forgiveness. So when you look at verses 11 through 12, notice what the Bible says. It says, but the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Verse 11, today in the city of David, a Savior. Somebody say Savior. A Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah of the Lord. The reason why this is so profound, it's because God's intent for Jesus coming to earth was to save you. That word Messiah means anointed one. In other words, Jesus did not come to earth to make you rich. That's not your issue. Some of y'all are like, no, Pastor, money's a problem for me. I need that thing. It may be a problem, but it's not the problem. Jesus did not come to earth to give you the job that you want, to give you everything that you asked for. Jesus is not like Will Smith, who's the genie in the bottle in Aladdin. He is not that guy. You don't get to rub Jesus three times like he's some lamb, and he'd be like, hey, three wishes, whatever you, no. Jesus is a king, he is sovereign. It is his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, in other words, has much bigger plans in mind than just giving you a new job. Jesus came to save you and I, humanity, from our sin that separates us from God. Here's what 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Why did he come? To make you rich? To give you the person of your dreams? To give you the job that you've always wanted? I'm not saying he can't bring about those things. He can. He's sovereign. He has all power. But that's not why he came at Christmas. He came to this earth, to this world, to save sinners. People who were separated from God because of their sin. And here's what I want you to know in here. All of us in here are sinners born inherently. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if there's one thing that all of us know how to do really well, it's sin. Oh, it's getting real tight, real uncomfortable now. Some of y'all can't, how dare you, Pastor, call me a sinner? I'm one too. If there's one thing that we all know how to do naturally, it's sin. Nobody had to teach you how to lie. What did you go, did you read Lying for Dummies book or something? Did you take a course on lying 101? No. This is why David says in the book of Psalms, born into sin, shaped in iniquity. And we got a sin problem. You might have a money problem, but you got a sin problem. You might have an anxiety problem, but you got a sin problem. You might got a relationship problem, but you got a sin problem. And you can't buy your way out of sinfulness. You can't podcast your way out of sinfulness. You can't Facebook and Instagram and TikTok your way out of sinfulness. There is only one remedy for your sinfulness, and his name is Jesus. God sent Jesus to forgive us of all of our sins, past, present, and future. Why? Because you and I deserve condemnation for our sin, which is why the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Oh, you and I deserve hell. I don't deserve to go to hell. Yes, you do, actually. On your own, yes, you and I do. Because the minute we rebelled against God, we deserved was just. Let me help us understand something. You don't want fair from God. Because if he gave you fair, it would mean you would get what you deserve. And if the wages of sin is death, then that means the minute you cuss that person out, should have went to hell. The minute you lied, well, I'm coming in your street now. The minute you lied, should have went to hell. The minute you went to the porn site, should have went to hell. But God, the Bible says, who is rich in mercy, forgave all of our iniquities through the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my blood, my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's why the Bible says that Jesus is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. God sent Jesus to forgive us of all of our sins. And this is why we have joy, because we're saved. Salvation. Somebody say salvation. Here's what the Old Testament book, prophet Habakkuk 3:18 says, yet I will celebrate in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. So let me say it like this. We rejoice because God forgave the debt that we deserve to pay. Have you ever had a debt that you could not pay in your life? Have you ever, come on, college students in here, have you ever got a student loan and you looked at that thing, you were like, I don't know how. But then for some reason, God made a way. He provided. And that's what God does with Jesus. Jesus now becomes the payment for our sin. And when you begin to think of your sin, what you've done, what you said, what you thought about, and how God offers to not hold that against you instead, but instead to hold it against Jesus and him taking your sins upon himself on the cross and him being crucified 33 years later after he would be born on the cross, he took the fullness of the penalty of your sin. When you begin to think about all the things that you've done, but how you did not get what you deserve, that should lead you and I to being in a place of rejoicing, giving God thanks. Thanksgiving. Thank you, God, that you did not give me what I deserve. Thank you, God, that you did not send me to hell. Thank you, God, that you made a way even when I did not deserve it. The arrival, the birth of Jesus is a reason to rejoice because it reveals God's forgiveness, but then it also leads to this. It reveals God's favor. So look at where verses 13 through 14 says. It says, suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people. Watch this. He favors. I want you to notice the scene that's happening here. The Bible says that all the angels are celebrating. And then it says, verse 13, a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel that came to bring this good news to the shepherds. So in other words, you had one angel who came and brought the good news, but then all of a sudden, heaven goes crazy. And they're rejoicing about the fact that Jesus has come from heaven to earth. They are turning up like never before. But notice what it's connected to. Favor. There's a rejoicing because of God's favor. What is God's favor? God's favor is God's goodwill. It is God being good to you, not because you're good, but because he is. That's favor. Y'all remember how I said a few moments ago, you don't want fair? You don't want fair. And thank God that God doesn't want to give us fair. You know what God wants to give us instead? Favor. I don't want fair. Give me your favor, Lord. I need a favor. I need you to do something for me that I can't do for myself. And here's what's so powerful about God's favor. We're going to go back to verse 10. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And then verse 14, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. The angels brought the news about Jesus' announcement and arrival, not to political and religious leaders. He brought the news to shepherds, the outcasts. What does God show us through this scene? It shows us that Jesus is for everybody. That his favor is available for everybody. In other words, it does not matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter where you're from. The favor of God is for all people. It is for everybody. And I like how the angels also say in this passage, this Savior was born for you. He was born for you. Somebody say for me. I want you to understand that Jesus came for you. He came for the world, but make it personal, he came for you. And some of you have come here today and are watching online, and you believe the lie of the enemy that God does not love you, and that because of the things that you've done and the things that you've said, that God has abandoned you. That is so far from the truth. God says, no. I sent my son Jesus to show you how much I love you. Yeah, you screwed it up, but my favor is still here. Yeah, you made a mess, but my favor is still here. And I love the fact that Jesus came for us and that he's for everybody. And this is one of the reasons why our church, when we started it 7 years ago, from the outset of our church, we've always said, we want our church to be a church for all people. No matter their color, white, black, Indian, Asian, Latino, rich, poor, young, old, Democrat, Republican, nothing at all. It doesn't matter. Because when you look at Jesus' followers, he had all types of people following him. He had enemies who did not like each other. All of a sudden, part of his family and part of his crew and part of the people who were following him, which shows me something powerful about the ministry and the presence of Jesus and the message of Jesus, that the message of Jesus is for everybody, which means his church should be for everybody, which means when you come in this place, when you watch online, you should be able to find your place here. If you messed up, welcome home. If you lied, welcome home. If you're white, welcome home. If you're black, welcome home. If you're young, welcome home. If you're rich, welcome home. If you're poor, welcome home. The gospel is for everybody. That's why it's called favor. And I believe in a time where our country is divided, our world is divided, what becomes a light in the darkness is the local church. That we should be people who embody the presence of God, the message of God. While the world divides people, Jesus is the bridge. That's why we named our church the Bridge Church. He is the bridge who connects us to God and connects us to each other. He is the bridge that makes enemies friends. Let me take it a step further. That he don't just make enemies friends, he makes enemies family. What kind of mess is that? You got to be powerful to take people who don't like each other and not just make them become best friends, but now they become family. But Jesus says, I'm for everybody. In other words, his favor is why we rejoice. And when you look over your own individual life, I believe if you could survey your life, be honest, your life may not be perfect right now, but I think if you look at your life, you can honestly say, God has been good to me. He has favored me. He's been good to you. Come on, I want you to go back down memory lane and think about your life. Favor is God doing things for you that should not have happened. You should not have got the job that you got, but you got it anyhow. That's favor. Favor is turning people who are at odds against each other and coming together. Favor causes reconciliation. Favor brings you out of a coma when the doctor said you don't have any more time to live. Favor is what heals bodies. Favor is what opens doors that no man can close. Is anybody grateful for the favor of God? We rejoice because God's favor, because he's been good. Here's what Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Notice he doesn't say rejoice in your circumstances. He doesn't say rejoice that you got a paycheck. He doesn't say rejoice that you got a bonus. Those are good. Now, bless God for that. But he doesn't ground rejoicing and joy in those things. He says, rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. Which means this, We can have joy at all times, not because a life is always good, but because God is. I know that's so counterintuitive, because we've been discipled by the world to think that happiness is what we should be striving for. No. It's about joy, which means I can have joy no matter the season that I'm in. You know, one of the things that was so powerful this past week, we had a good friend of ours who recently lost a family member. We went to the funeral this past Thursday. And I was telling Ariel, there was a moment in the beginning of the celebration of life and the service where the family, our friend and her family, they were up in the front and the choir was singing and the worship team was singing and they had their hands lifted and they were praising God with tears running down their face. They still had smiles on their faces. And I leaned over to Ariel and I said, that is a picture of joy in the midst of sorrow. Where I got the casket that holds the body of my family member right here and is right in front of me. But in the midst of that, I can still lift up my hand and give God praise for who he is and for all that he's done. It does not change the pain that I'm experiencing. It does not change the tears that are coming out of my eyes. But it helps me to see that my joy is not contingent on good or bad things happening. It's contingent on how good God is and how good he is and how he's been merciful. I got joy unspeakable. And joy confuses the world. How can you smile when you have sorrow? How can you still say God is good when life isn't? Because my joy is not connected to earthly things. It's connected to something that's eternal. God's forgiveness, God's favor, but also lastly, God's faithfulness. So when you look at verses 15 through 18, it says, when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Verse 16, they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby, being Jesus, who was lying in the manger. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Watch verse 19. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, rejoicing for all the things they had heard and seen. Powerful. That's not the shout part. Which were just as they had been told. Which means I can rejoice no matter what it is that I'm going through. Not just because of God's forgiveness, not just because of God's favor, but because of God's faithfulness. Because God has come through on every single promise that he has made. And if he has made a promise, and if it's not come to pass yet, it does not mean that he fell asleep at the wheel. It just simply means it's not time. But I can guarantee you that if God has made a promise, he will produce it. I can rejoice because God is faithful. I can rejoice because God has always come through on his promises. I can rejoice because God has a 100% shooting percentage from the field. Better than Steph Curry. Better than Michael Jordan. Better than Kobe Bryant. God never fails on his promises. And when we first see the shepherds here, remember they were in a dark place and joy was absent. But by the time the story ends, they're now rejoicing. They go from being joyless to joyful. Here's what's interesting. They go back to the very place that they were at where they had no joy, which shows us again that joy is not about a position. It's not about a place. Joy is about a person, and his name is Jesus. They rejoiced because the thing that the angel had promised from heaven on behalf of God actually came to pass. And the reason why you can have joy in the midst of hardship is because God is faithful. Psalm 37:25 says it like this: I was young, now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. You want to know why you have joy? You have joy not because of a favorable situation, but because of a faithful Savior. Your situation may change day to day, but your joy is to be in the one who never changes. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's faithful. And I know some of you are here today and you're watching online. And if you could be honest, the only reason you made it to where you are today, if you could be real about it, is because God has been faithful to you. Some of you all, you had COVID and thought you were going to die, but you made it out of the hospital, out of the ICU because of God's faithfulness. Some of you have made it through this year. You've gone through unbelievable things. You're going through unbelievable things. But the only reason why you have not drowned, the only reason why you have not ended your life yet, is because of God's faithfulness. God never left you. He never abandoned you. He never forsook you. He stayed with you through the high and the low. God has been faithful. And I just want to know, is anybody here today who can bless God for his faithfulness, that he never changes, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? He said he provided, and he did it anyway. He said he would heal, and he healed. He did things for you that other people said were impossible. And if you look back over your life and how you've made it through good times, bad times, God has been faithful. And how do we respond to God's faithfulness? With thanksgiving. With praise. I want to close with this. There was a study that was recently done that talked about, I looked this up recently because I heard this in a song. I was like, man, that's crazy. But I looked it up, and it was a study that was done that showed that gratitude and anxiety can't exist in the brain at the same time. Which I find to be very interesting. That you can either be grateful, thankful, or anxious, but you can't do both at the same time. Maybe this is the reason why Paul says in Philippians 4, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And give God thanks for everything. I love it when science points back to God. Because what it shows us is that the key to being in a place of joy in this season is not based upon what's happening. It's based upon God's faithfulness. So the way I respond to what God has done is with thanksgiving. So let me give us a remedy for some of us who are battling with worry right now. If you're wrestling with worry and anxiety, begin to worship. If you're wrestling with your problems, begin to praise. If you're wrestling with difficulties, begin to give God adoration. Come on, begin to open up your mouth. Begin to declare certain things over your life. If you're dealing with all types of depression, begin to give God thanks and say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continuously be in my mouth. Bless God for his faithfulness, what he's done for us through Jesus. Because when you were sinking in sin, God sent Jesus. When you were drowning in despair, God sent Jesus. When you were failing in life, God sent Jesus. When you were walking through darkness, God sent the light of the world, Jesus. So I want to let you know, you might not have everything that you want right now in your life. Everything might not be going according to plan. I know things that you wanted to do aren't happening right now. I know you didn't plan on going through the divorce. I know you didn't expect the family member to pass away. I know you didn't expect to lose your job during this season. I know that all these things that are happening right now, they don't feel good. They aren't good. They feel terrible. They're afflicting you. They're keeping you up at night. I know in the midst of all these things, they're difficult. But I want you to understand that God gives you an answer for all the things that you're going through, and it's this three-letter word called joy. Because God sent his son Jesus to forgive us of our sin. He sent Jesus to show us his favor. He sent Jesus to show us his forgiveness, which means this joy is from God, which is probably why the old church will say, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. Why can't it take it away, Pastor? Because the world didn't give it to me. God gave me joy. Jesus gave me joy. When he came down from heaven to earth, he was the one who showed me joy. So we rejoice in the midst of suffering. In the midst of what you're walking through, still have joy. Which means the scripture is true in Nehemiah. Closing with this, y'all, come on. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord. What's your strength when you're going through difficulty? Joy. How do you get through this difficult month that you're going through right now? Joy. How do you get through the hardship that you're going through right now? Joy. I will bless the Lord at all times. Count it all joy, though you face trials of many kinds. I got joy. In spite of what I'm going through. All you need for Christmas. Not a new car. Not this, not that. No. You need joy. And I love the fact that God promises to give you joy in the midst of our darkness. And some of you came in here today joyless. But I want you to know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Strength in times of discouragement, strength in times of sorrow, strength in times of darkness, strength in times of pain. God wants you to experience his joy. He wants you to walk in his joy. God doesn't want you to need happiness. He wants to give you something better than that. He wants to give you joy. David prays this prayer, Psalm 51, having sinned against God, but against God. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Because he didn't ask for more stuff. He asked for joy. And in this season, the world. My Lord has come. Joy has come. So I want you to understand, family, you may not get everything that you want this year. Everything may not be happening the way you want it, but I want you to understand, joy has come to your life. Joy has come to your household. Joy wants to come to your family. Joy wants to come to your marriage. Joy wants to come to your purpose. Joy wants to come to your identity. So we just put heads bowed, eyes closed. Stand for a moment, but I believe that some of us are here today, and you're like, man, I don't have any joy. For those of us who already know Jesus, but maybe kind of drifted. But today you're like, I'm going to come back to the one who is the source of my joy. I'm going to come back to Jesus. And also in this prayer, maybe you're the person who's like, man, Pastor, man, I'm drowning in discouragement and I need some joy. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand? I need some joy right now. I need some joy. I need joy. Father, in the name of Jesus, for every hand that's lifted, I pray, oh Lord, of your salvation. Would you refresh them? Would you renew them? Would you renew them on the inside? Give them joy. I pray that they would be able to rejoice in your favor, your faithfulness, your forgiveness. And that this season they would be able to say, this season. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Some of you are here today, you tried to find joy outside of Jesus. I'm going to let you know you would never do that. You would never do that. Joy outside of Jesus. He is the source of joy. And today he's here. He said, you can have joy if you have me. And I'm going to give you my joy. So if this is you today, you say, Pastor, I'm going to say yes to Jesus. I'm going to receive him as my Lord. I'm going to receive him as my Savior. I'm going to dedicate my life to him. I'm going through some hardships right now, and I need Jesus. I need him to forgive me of my sins because I'm being weighed down by my shame and condemnation and guilt. And it's been following me, but today I want to be free of it. I want to be forgiven of it. If that's you and you're ready and you want to receive the forgiveness of God in Christ and be made a new creature and have all these old things passed away to become who he's called you to be, if this is you and you're ready to become who God has called you to be and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed on the count of three, I just want you to shoot your hand up. 1, 2, 3, if that's you, you want to say yes to Jesus today. If that's you. To say yes to Christ in person or online, I want you to say these words. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me life. Thank you for your joy. Thank you for your love. In your name I pray. church. Can we put our hands together?